Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, March the 31st. Well, the last day of March, and if I do my calculations correctly, this is the last day of the first quarter of 2021. 3 months, right? One quarter? So we've completed one quarter of 21. So I guess that means that we are 1 year and, what, 8 months away from the next election? Didn't we just have an election? But anyway, time is flying. The first quarter of 2021 is in the books, as they like to say in sports. And it's been an interesting quarter. I'll give you that. I have a post today over at the American Thinker about the San Diego public schools. Now, I want to begin with that. It's over at the American Thinker. If you read the American Thinker, if you want to see the post, you can also check it on my blog, and I also put it in some of these other social media places like MeWe and Parler and so on. Speaking of that, I've not been able to enjoy that much success on Parler. For some reason, I'm not connecting to people there, but MeWe, it's a little bit better. But anyway, you can always check it out in my blog. I always have that going if you would like to see it there. But I have a story that came out today about what's happening in San Diego. And this is, of course, in the context of new COVID information coming out of Mexico, COVID information that isn't very good, COVID information that confirms that the situation in Mexico regarding COVID was a lot worse than we thought it was. I mean, significantly worse. I'll just read you the numbers again if you have a second. They've recorded 310,000 COVID casualties in Mexico. We have here 540,000. They have a population of 130. We have a population of 330. So it's not quite three times more population, but it's over two times. So you can see that let's say proportional basis, they're doing a heck of a lot worse than we are. But anyway, so that's the context of COVID. So the San Diego public school system is not doing any in-house learning or any face-to-face teaching. They're doing everything on Zoom or on the computer or whatever they want to call it. And that's how they're doing it because the teachers don't feel safe yet to go back to the classroom, even though apparently they've gotten everything they've wanted. They're being paid, but they don't feel safe. So the public school system in San Diego has decided to provide in-face or in-person training to some of the children who have crossed the border, to many of these children who are being held, I guess, at the border or whatever. Now, look, I'm certainly willing to cut them a little slack, that is the union, or the teachers, not so much the union, and say that this is an act of, charity and nobility or whatever, that they want to help these children. I can understand that, but not at the expense of your own children. I mean, if you're going to teach kids who are at a much higher risk of COVID, who are being held in some of these detention centers, why wouldn't you teach your own kids in San Diego? Well, to say the least, this has become quite a scandal in San Diego, as it should be. And in fact, I'm hoping that we can have Leslie Eastman, our friend from San Diego, contributor to Legal Insurrection. I'm hoping that she can join us here in the next couple of weeks to talk about this, because I think this is an outrage. These kids in San Diego cannot go to school face-to-face, but teachers are going down to the detention centers to teach some of these kids who cross the border. Look, I have nothing against these kids, by the way. I've said this over and over and over again. I have nothing against the kids who are coming over. I think they're being used, that much I'll say, but I have nothing against them. I mean, they're just poor people who are being used by criminal elements to bring them up here and by immigration activists in the United States. But anyway, this is creating quite a scandal in San Diego, and we're going to hear a lot more about it, I think, over the next couple of days. I have a post coming out tomorrow where I talk a little bit about President Biden. keep thinking of him as Vice President Biden, but President Biden. And what I think is a massive case of overreach on the part of President Biden and the Democrats. And we saw a little bit of this in the COVID bill, where there was a lot in that COVID bill that had nothing to do with COVID, that were just a lot of liberal ideas and a lot of money going to liberal groups, nothing to do with COVID. Well, we're seeing it again now with this infrastructure package, which is, you know, calling for tremendous expenditures of American money, and it's all going to be paid for, you guessed it, by raising taxes on corporations. Well, what corporations? You know, they don't quite explain that, of course. And I don't think this is going to get very far, by the way. I think this infrastructure plan is dead on arrival as far as the Senate. It may get out of the House just because they've got seven more votes, but I'm not even sure it'll be that many votes. But anyway, it'll die in the Senate because this is nothing but a – this is not really an infrastructure bill. Now, I am not opposed whatsoever to rebuilding some highways and some bridges. I'm all for that. I mean, I'm all for that. Drive in any U.S. city these days, and you've got these big potholes. So I'm not opposed to spending money to rebuild our cities, to rebuild our, particularly our streets, our bridges. I mean, I'm all for that. I mean, that's great. But that's not what this is. This is just, this is really a climate change bill or a Green New Deal, whatever they want to call it. That's what it really is. And that, of course, would be very counterproductive to the American economy. So it's really overreaching, though, and that was the point. That's the point of my article, where I think Joe Biden is overreaching big time. I mean, big time. And you know, this is a man who promised that he would run the country as a moderate. This is the guy who we were told is the moderate. You know, he's not Bernie Sanders, that kind of thing. But in fact, his, you know, everything that he's done since he became president, frankly, could have been done by Bernie Sanders. That's how far to the left he has been. And he's simply been swimming further and further to the left. I think there's going to be a backlash against this. I really do. I really think there's going to be a backlash. And we'll see what happens in 2022. But he's certainly overreaching, President Biden, that is. He's overreaching a great deal. And I don't think this is going to work well for the Democrats in 2022. I mean, it's just too much going to the left in a country that really didn't vote that way at all. I mean, whatever you think of the controversy of the 2020 election, whatever you think of that, the fact is that it was a very close election, decided by 40,000 votes in six states. You change those 40,000 votes, and you have a different outcome. So very close election, as we can see in the Senate, in the House, in the state legislatures. And I just don't think President Biden got the telegram that this was a very close election. He seems to think that this was a mandate. It wasn't. It wasn't. And he better. Somebody better get to him, because he's overreaching and he's pushing the Democrats over the cliff in doing so. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, I mentioned last night that G. Gordon Liddy had passed away. And there was a fantastic obituary in today's Dallas Morning News. I don't think it's an original from the Dallas Morning News. I think it probably came from News Service. But, man, when you read this guy's life, he's more fascinating than I thought he was. So we're going to try to do a show with about G. Gordon Liddy one of these days, because this is a fascinating guy, no matter whatever you may think of his politics. The man was awfully interesting. I mean, just an absolutely interesting guy who took a lot of positions and didn't mind taking a risk. I kind of like that. I kind of like that kind of person. So we're gonna do a show on G. Gordon Liddy one of these days. We're just going to look back at his life. Not so much a political commentary. We're just going to look at his life. Because this is an amazing life. What I saw in that obituary today, was absolutely, absolutely stunning. That's all I can tell you. Well, has anybody seen Vice President Harris? I mean, has anybody seen her with respect to the border problems? She was given this assignment by President Biden. She was going to be the focal point or the lead person on the border situation, and the governor of Texas just wrote her a letter saying, you know, when are you coming? Because we have to talk. We have a lot of talking to do. But Vice President Harris, I guess, isn't coming down here. I have no idea what role she's going to play. If she's supposed to be the lead person, she ought to be down here talking to Border Patrol and so on. Of course, she's not. And she's not going to talk to Border Patrol because Border Patrol doesn't like her. And they don't like her because of what she said about Border Patrol over the years, where she made a really outrageous comparison between Nazis and Border Patrol. So she's not coming, I don't think. And if she does, it will be because President Biden tells her to do it. I just don't think this is really an issue that she's that interested in because, first of all, she's never really been associated with the issue. And it's a no-win situation. This border issue is a no-win situation for the Democrats. There's nothing they can do to make the situation better. The only thing they can do is reverse or return to the Trump policies that were working. Of course, I don't think we're going to see that happen anytime soon. I mean, that's simply out of the question. I mean, they're just going to have to publicly admit that President Biden made a huge mistake in reversing the Trump policies. I mean, that's just all there is to it. He did. That Remain in Mexico policy was working very well. And it was working well because it was benefiting Mexico. That's the point that nobody gets. Remain in Mexico was actually benefiting Mexico because it stopped the caravans. The people didn't come into Mexico if they knew they couldn't get into the United States. They didn't want to live in Mexico, so they didn't come to the United States. Sorry about that. I had to mute myself there for a second. I had a little coughing to do. But anyway, that's why Remain in Mexico worked so well, because it benefited Mexico as much as it benefited the United States. And that's what they need to do. They need to reinstate that and drop the catch and release, which is also a big mistake. I mean, you catch people and release them, might as well forget them, because they're just going to swim into the population and get lost in L.A. or wherever it may be. Well, the baseball season starts on Thursday, and I don't know. I think every city, every area is going to handle it differently. Here in Texas, in North Texas, the Rangers are pretty much going to open up. They've opened up the whole stadium, so they'll have, you know, all the seats will be sold, and you have to wear a mask, but it's going to be nice going to baseball games after having a whole year of watching it on TV. It's going to be nice to get out to the park and see the real stuff. So that'll start tomorrow. Now, the Rangers are not starting in Texas. They're starting in Kansas City, and then they play here next week on Monday. And I also heard today that that's the old one. Oh, gosh, I forgot the name of the new NFL commissioner. I can't think of the name of the new NFL commissioner. It just went away. But anyway, the NFL commissioner is saying that they want to play in full stadiums, that, you know, they want the fans back. And you know what? There is something about a game when you're playing in empty chairs versus when there are fans there. I mean, there's no question about it that the fans add a great deal of emotion and passion. And even the players get into it because, I mean, I think a lot of the players last year said how different it was to play, you know, before an empty stadium. It just doesn't have the same feeling. It doesn't have the same passion, I guess that's the word that I'm looking for. So baseball is back, and I think in most places you're going to have fans. I don't know if everywhere, but you're going to have fans here in Texas and I think in other places. And the NFL is coming back, and they want fans. So hopefully they have fans this year, and we can kind of return a little bit to normal in 2021. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.